In the name of the God above, Christ beside, and the Spirit within. Amen. Have you ever been a victim? A victim of something that happened to you or something that was done to you that traumatized you in some way? How have you moved through it? Well, let me tell you the story of Bjørn Iller. Bjørn is an activist for peace and human rights. Through writing, filmmaking, and organizing global events, Bjørn promotes peace and human rights. But Bjørn is also a survivor of major trauma. What trauma? Well, in 2011, Norway suffered the largest mass shooting in its history. Anders Breivik, a right-wing extremist, shot and killed 77 people and injured 329 others in two separate attacks. The first attack was the bombing of a government building in downtown Oslo. Later, Breivik made it onto an island off the mainland where hundreds of youth were attending summer camp. The carnage was everywhere. Breivik was charged with homicide and sentenced to 21 years in prison. Bjørn was in the courtroom on the day of the sentencing. Bjørn was also a youth counselor on the island the day Breivik did all the killing. In his account, Bjørn tells of how everyone had gathered in the main meeting room on the island to hear news of an explosion that had taken place on the mainland earlier that day. They were also told that staying on the island was the safest place to be. But then they gathered by the campsite and they heard some popping sounds like firecrackers going off. And then they saw a man coming over the hill, and a few people went over to greet him. But then the man, he pulled out a gun and he started shooting. Everyone ran. Bjørn had a group of young people with him, and they ran in search of a shelter to hide in. While running, they saw fallen bodies. You know, it was a horrific sight. There was panic and there was screaming everywhere. At one point, they heard a helicopter overhead and they assumed the police had arrived on the island, and someone came over the clearing dressed in a police uniform. So Bjørn and the others walked toward him. But then he pulled out a gun and he started shooting. It was Breivik. Once again, they ran. They jumped into the lake and they tried to swim away. And Bjørn, at one point, as he was going to the lake, he stood up in the water to take off a sweater he was wearing because it was weighing him down. But as he stood up, he saw Breivik on the shore aiming a gun straight at him. And you know, at that moment, Bjørn describes how he felt, and I quote, "I was absolutely certain I would die. It was an extraordinary moment, which is hard to describe. I felt peace inside me, but also this overwhelming emptiness. It was a feeling of my soul leaving my body." Thankfully, Breivik missed, and Bjørn was able to throw himself back into the water, and he and the others swam around the side of the lake. And eventually, police arrived and rescued them. When they got back to the campsite, the sight was overwhelming. Ambulances everywhere, bodies covered in blankets, parents screaming for their children. The sounds and the images, they're permanently etched in Bjorn's memory. Okay, it's now 9 years later today. Bjørn has begun to move on. Somehow he has found a way to move on. He wouldn't describe himself a victim anymore. That's not the language he uses anymore. And not only that, what he suffered became instrumental in the direction his life has now taken. Even as life can be a struggle at times for Bjorn, he's moved on from living as a victim to someone living a life of transformation. How has this happened? How? And we ask this question not just for ourselves as individuals living in isolation. We also ask as those in compassionate solidarity with the communities and families in Nova Scotia, for example, or those families grieving the death of 6 members of our Canadian military service in a helicopter crash, or those families in the community of Fort McMurray overwhelmed by flooding, and all those feeling extra vulnerable in this time of COVID-19, you know? What revelatory wisdom may our scriptures offer us as a blueprint from victimization to transformation? Well, the Bible talks about 2 kinds of suffering. 2 kinds. Broadly speaking, there's the kind of suffering that happens to us as a consequence of mistakes in our lives or sins. But there is also the kind of suffering where we are totally innocent. Often, suffering is a combination of things, isn't it? We suffer not only because of our own choices, but the choices of others too. And often things happen to us beyond any of our mistakes or choices. And sometimes our suffering has nothing to do with what we've done or failed to have done. Where is human choice, for example, a factor in a helicopter crash or a flood or a pandemic? Where is human choice a factor? And what about a mass shooting? Now, certainly, human behavior plays a part. But it is also true that those who suffer the most are too often those who are the least guilty and the most vulnerable. You know, it's not fair the way suffering falls. The cross of Jesus is all about forgiveness of sin, yes. But the cross of Jesus is also about God's solidarity with us in our suffering. Somehow God coming to be with us in our darkest night can make all the difference in how we find our way to the morning light. How so? How so? Let's seek out some revelatory wisdom from our scripture readings. Both readings are about the journey from victimization to transformation. But both readings also point to profound suffering. In the case of the psalmist, the language of suffering is metaphorical. It's as if God has given the people a test. It's like polishing the dirt off silver so that it shines. The dirt is described as the kind of suffering where you feel like you're caught in a net with a great big burden on your back, you're flat out and your enemies are riding over your head. Or it also feels like passing through burning flames or wading through deep water. But whatever the imagery, and there's a variety provided, the key for the psalmist is that they have made it through to the other side. They have enough distance from their suffering to describe it as a test. You know, thinking of suffering as a test, it may be an incentive and a motive to make it through rather than give up and give in. Whatever it takes. But there's something else as well. You know, the psalmist expresses exuberant gratitude, the kind of gratitude we expressed after we passed through a huge ordeal and come out on the other side. You know, we've made it through the burning flames. We've not only stayed afloat in the deep water, but we've made it to the shore. We're grateful. We've passed the test. But more than that, we're grateful for God's steadfast love. God has accompanied us throughout. God has been there with us in our cross until we have found our way to resurrection. So what would it take to transform the cross of victimization into the resurrection of new life? What would it take? For the psalmist, first of all, it's all about thinking of suffering as a test. Passing it will make you stronger and more resilient in ways you would have never known before. But also, the key to such strength and resilience is that it is marked by gratitude and love. If I'm full of bitterness, resentment, and revenge in my cry for justice, I'm still a victim of the suffering. To redeem the suffering somehow, I need to be brought into a fullness of love and a peace in my soul. I need to be able to shed tears, you know, tears of grief that in time also become mingled with tears of gratitude. And what about our New Testament reading from Peter? Here too, Peter frames a journey from cross to resurrection, from victimization to transformation. You know, the key is in how we pass through the suffering and what we receive on the other side we didn't have before. Suffering is something to be resisted for sure. You know, injustice, it must be called out. And those committing it need to be held accountable. But how do we pass through suffering in the depths of our hearts? That's where the long journey is critical. The Apostle Peter speaks of being ready to make a defense, you know, but doing so with gentleness and reverence. These are his words, gentleness and reverence. In other words, we need the kind of inspiration and love in our hearts where we stand up for justice in ways that treat others with integrity and respect, no matter what they've done, integrity and respect. You know, his words are gentleness and reverence. We're not drawn into the vortex of vengeance and retaliation. The key, he says, the key is to rise up with a good conscience. You know, we don't want to carry any regret or negativity in our hearts going forward. The imagery he uses is that of Noah and the ark passing through the floodwaters, and even the imagery of baptism as passing through the waters and rising up into new life. He also refers to Christ on the cross, carrying the injustices of us all and the suffering of all the victims of the injustice. As Christ rises up to new life, so are we rising into new life with him. Okay, preacher, okay. Some wonderful, beautiful imagery here, but what does that look like in real life? How is suffering redeemed? How is our victimization transformed into a new kind of life where the sting of victimization no longer imprisons and poisons our hearts? How? Let's get back to Bjorn. 9 years after the horrific trauma of a mass shooting he barely survived, Bjorn has experienced transformation. You know, he says that he feels badly for all those who still carry their victimization with them. For them, Breivik, you know, this mass shooter, he still has a hold over them. It's like they're scared to even say his name. It's like Voldemort, he says, you know, Harry Potter. They're afraid to say his name. They're just not able. They're not able to move on. That's great compassion and concern for them. But for Bjorn, though, for Bjorn, the focus has become now much larger than one person. You know, he's come to see that behind Breivik and white extremism is the whole social reality of racism and violence. And this is a problem for all of Norway and all of society, including our own. The problem of misogyny, which was behind Breivik's attack. You know, misogyny and even LGBTQI hatred. You know, it's all part of this network of this extremism and these social realities. And it's there in our societies. And Breivik, you know, he's not just one man. He was created by the flaws in a society that marginalizes and oppresses those who are not acceptable somehow to those who dominate and hold power. And what do? To those who just do not conform? We oppress them, and some people are deranged enough to be extreme and do heinous acts of violence. There's a whole history of this, and we're all complicit and complacent as a society. This is how Bjorn now sees it. You know, before the trauma, Bjorn not only lacked awareness of the larger ills of society, he lived a fairly self-enclosed life, as he describes it. You know, he was positive, a positive person, grew up in a good home, but he was complacent. His life lacked the urgency for change. Now his whole life is given over to promoting peace and human rights. He is on a transformation journey, and the resurrection for him is the kind of life much richer than any life he had before, even though he lived through something so horrific. Wow. And Bjorn's example, I believe, is not only a practical illustration of the journey our scriptures are challenging us to undergo, each of us. No, it's not just that. It's also an inspiration for us as we ponder what we are living here and now. How will we redeem the terrible loss of lives in the face of another mass shooting? Or massive disastrous weather events like floods, or a terrible pandemic that is victimizing the most vulnerable, the worst. How? Unless we see the bigger picture behind these individual events and engage them constructively, we will miss the opportunity for transformation. Are we to remain simply as victims of violent misogyny and racism? Are we to remain complacent about the vulnerability of our elderly and the inadequacies of our society exposed by a pandemic? Are we to remain comfortable in lifestyles that are unsustainable for our planet? These are just some of the many questions we can ask. Or will our suffering and the suffering of the most vulnerable become a wake-up call to resurrection and transformation? Each of us are being given this time to think seriously and deeply, to open our hearts to where the suffering is the worst, with a capacity to make choices beyond our apathy or helplessness. God has called us to resurrection kind of life. Let us not settle for remaining victims of what is and what will come to be over and over again unless we make changes we are capable of making. We're all capable of making some kind of change in our lives. And this is true for us collectively. It is also true for us in our individual lives and relationships. Where do you and I need to make changes in our personal lives? May we come with a psalmist to seeing what we're undergoing as a kind of test and as an opportunity to emerge with a new kind of gratitude and a fullness of love as we take some courageous steps in our lives. May we come with the Apostle Peter to experience a new kind of peace with a good conscience, because we are living as we are called to live, not settling for less because it's easier and more comfortable. God's grace surrounds us for all our vulnerable humanity and fear. God's grace surrounds us. But our crucified, risen Lord challenges us to rise up to a humanity that is in us yet to become more fully. Let us pray. We are here, O God, each of us in our own way. Don't give up on us. Don't let us off the hook either, O God. Sustain us when we fail and fall, which is often enough. But inspire us also and empower us with courage to settle for nothing less than ever greater transformation. Amen.